Man, I'm so glad you guys are here. You know, it's funny, I'm not a big person on statistics. Like, you know, if you read, if you're over the age of like 24, you probably won't get saved. And both my parents got saved in their 70s. And, you know, I read a lot this week, the horror stories of going to church July 4th weekend, because after Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's one of the worst. But look, man, we're here, we're celebrating Jesus, and we're here for me. I want to thank you for that. So tonight, today, this morning, wherever we are, I want us to trust in the victor. I know that you may not have noticed, we've had debates on TV, there's an election coming up in November, and can I say something, Christians, we are too wrapped up in that. I'm not saying that we don't care about the direction of our country. My hope is found in nothing less than Jesus Christ. So we have to trust in the victor. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not say Republicans. It does not say independents. It does not say Democrats. It says the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we would get as amped up about telling people about Jesus as we do debating political things. We need the Lord. I saw a really cute meme on my Wednesday. It says, hey, England, enjoy going to work tomorrow. Because the next day was July 4th, you know, and we're free from them. Okay, I am so old. I remember 1976, the bicentennial. It was after my junior year of high school. I was working a couple jobs in the cemetery. Where I told you before, that was a great job. I learned all about authority because they had a lot of people under me. And I was working on a farm, building a barn. And you know, it was just kind of cool. The country was proud. Bruce Jenner was Bruce back then, and he did really good in the Olympics. During the Revolutionary War, 25,000 Americans died so that you and I could be free. John 8:36 tells us, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. My question to you today is, who owns your sin? My sin belongs to Jesus Christ. Because in August of 79, I made that commitment. God showed me that I am absolutely a dirty dog going to hell. But that Jesus died for my sins. When I asked him to forgive me, I said, man, you need to take the wheel. And it was so cool knowing, because I didn't go to church growing up, that I had salvation. Now, I still wasn't perfect, and I messed up a ton. But you know what? We got to remember who sets us free. The scriptures tell us to obey your government, support your government. And my question, a lot of times I see people amped up, and they go on Facebook, and they complain about the government, and I say, why is that sin any different than the sin they're complaining about? And I do the same thing. I was talking to somebody last week. I watched The Chosen, and I know that it's a lot of extra biblical stuff, but I really like the show because it shows you maybe what happened. And this one guy, I had breakfast with him last week, and I had seen the one about Lazarus, and I go, have you seen it? Yeah. He goes, oh, no. I said, I hate to spoil it for you, but yeah, he lives. So I hate to spoil it for you, but God wins. Please go throughout history. I mean, you know, I love talking about end times, and I had this really good conversation with somebody yesterday, and I don't want to get you all mad at me, so I am not going to talk about it. There have been so many worse societies than the United States of America 2024. We got to get over ourselves, because this is temporal. This is going to end. I have an eternity, and I have to live every day of my life for Jesus. I got to know God wins. I don't want to get drawn into this political stuff that's going on, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Oh, we're in a civil war, yada yada. Yeah, but Jesus knows that. Wouldn't it be cool to move to a state that didn't tax your ears off? Wouldn't it be cool to go to a state that wasn't so stinking liberal? God doesn't want us to. God goes, man, you're going to be my lights in Oswego, New York. You're going to be my lights in New York. Now, maybe he's saying, some of these other Christians don't have the fortitude of you New Covenant people, so I'm placing you among the frozen chosen. So we got to get excited by that. You know, so James 3, I'm going to be going through that couple verses. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, hello, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Okay, my first point, we need to look for wisdom in the right place. We're not exempt from God's word because of the environment we live in. Ecclesiastes says, what has been is what will be. And what has been is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Well, I can look at this sexual revolution. I can look at this. I can look at identity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look at history. This isn't the first time this has cropped up. Sin is sin, and it's always been there. We're not unique, but Jesus Christ is in control. We get so, and I'm talking to myself here, upset about stuff, and God is saying, stop it. I firmly believe when I debate people in politics, I can be shutting the door to them hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple weeks, we're going to a class reunion for my wife, and I know that time of year, I hear stuff, and I hear stuff from especially people that don't have my point of view, and in my head, I have all the best answers. They're usually sarcastic. And it usually has to do, you are a moron, is my opening sentence. But I don't say a word. And it's not easy for me, because I like to talk, I like to debate. But I realize I want to keep the main thing, Jesus Christ, the main thing. I'm not going to get drawn into that, because if I let people know how I feel here, they might just write me off to what eternity is all about. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. When people ask me, I like Dave has done this at your Christian school for a few years, I tell people, hey, I got a biblical world point of view. Are you a Democrat? I'm an independent. Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? No, I got a biblical world point of view. And that can open some doors. Sometimes they say, no, I'm good. Don't talk. Okay, I get that too. But then I can tell people what it means by this. And when it talks about meekness in James, meekness is power under control. It's not being a wimp. It's not being a pushover. It's not being allowing people to walk all over you, but meekness or gentleness, it's a fruit of the Spirit. You know, a meek person looks to honor God with their life, not promote their own viewpoints or opinions. And that's one thing that God has been getting after me about a lot lately. It ain't about you. It's not about my point of view. It's not about, like, you know, I had a friend of mine, I love her. She's with the Lord now, but Patty Sullivan in River Life Fellowship was our cleaner. And I had a lot of grace for Patty, because I would come into church on Sunday morning and all the toilet paper rolls and all the paper towels, they rolled backwards. That ain't God's way. Because if you're old enough to remember prints on paper towels, if you roll it backwards, you don't see the print. So I want you to know, I forgave Patty. I would kid her about it, I'd correct her, but Patty being Patty would do it the wrong way. But I have learned through situations like that how to be gracious to people and get them some slack. You know, I enjoy watching The Chosen, even though I know it's not all from the Bible, but the truths are, because I like people interacting. I like how they show the disciples are a bunch of 12 knuckleheads that Jesus kind of tries to mold together, and how he frustrates them. They frustrate him, I should say. He probably frustrates them too. And I like the second year when Mary Magdalene, again, not biblical, she fell back into sin, she comes back and repent, and Jesus says, What, you think you're never going to sin again? So what I'm trying to say with the point being is, I like to point how we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I don't like one thing about that show. I don't want to pray and get that actor's face in my mind as I'm praying to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But I like the fact that I can see what it might have been when it happened. But when I live the way Jesus wants me to live, and when you do, you're going to impact people's lives. When you stay out of the fray of debate, et cetera, and like last week I talked about, you know, some of the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm going to talk from Romans 12 next week, and I talked about just hang on to your point of view. But realize you could be wrong. So let your point of view be your point of view, even from the Bible. But realize you could be wrong, so hang on loosely. Scriptures tell us we need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the wisdom from above is first pure. We are to be holy people. We're saved. We have a relationship with Christ. We are to live holy lives to the best of our ability. Then peaceable. Hello. Gentle. Hello again. Open to reason. Full of mercy and good fruits. Impartial and sincere. So peace, not war. If you're from the 60s, you know where I stole that from. If you don't, then look it up. Because I'm not going to say the 60s phrase. This one thing that I coined a long time ago, you can't get butter from a turnip. I look at all the people in the room, and I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but if you have a born-again relationship with Christ, you know, it's hard enough for you to act like a Christian because it's hard enough for me. But one of the things, you know, I've shared this story before. I'm doing a funeral in Copenhagen, and I'm meeting with the family, and my office was literally about a third of the size of the stage, and this guy is dropping a bunch of F-bombs. And I wanted to walk him outside the door and say, that sign says we are a church. I am a pastor. Here's the Bible on my desk. Maybe you should talk differently. But I just let it go because God said, don't sweat the little things. I don't condone swearing. I'm not saying that. But I knew if I got in his face in a time after somebody passed away, that guess what? I'm going to close the door to sharing the gospel with him. So what I'm saying is we have to understand we live in a broken world. They're not going to have biblical standards because they don't believe in Jesus. So we have to be that light to them. Is like I said last week, you know, you need to, I think I said this last week, I'm reading a book with somebody. God talks about being a pastor of one. I've been saying that since I first got here. Who's the one person in your life that God goes, hey, I want you to pastor that person? So we have to pray about that. We have to be realistic about other people, especially people that don't have a relationship with Christ. You know, believers should be able to live together in unity, but you know, the Bible gives us a lot of examples where they can't. Lot quarreled with his uncle in Genesis 13. Abraham created a war for his father David. Absalom created a war with his father David in 2 Samuel. The disciples argued over who was the greatest in the kingdom of God. Galatians tells us in 5:15 that believers were biting and devouring each other. We have a tough time getting along. How do we expect the world to get along with us? Because we are to live peaceably. We're to live gently, full of mercy and good fruits. We're supposed to be impartial and sincere. We need to seek the Lord. You cannot, and I cannot live this way without God. Don't let his words fall on deaf ears. I was talking to a friend of mine from Syracuse this week, and she was saying how it just so happened that her pastor had spoken on a similar topic about politics, and she went to a graduation party. And all of a sudden, this guy's telling her, accusing her of being liberal, and she goes, I heard the pastor this morning. We're not talking about this. He goes, well, somebody has to fight about it. And he kept going after her. She finally said, okay, yeah, I'm going to go get some water. Can I make fun of you guys for a minute? I can preach on stuff like this. Then my wife will say in the afternoon, see this Facebook comment? Were they even in church today? Like, well, yeah, they were, man. So you got to have ears to hear. If you're going to be on Facebook, man, talk about Jesus Christ. I know this world is a mess. I know our country is a mess. But you know who isn't a mess? My Jesus. He said, Bo, we got this. You see, wisdom from above, God's wisdom is the only wisdom that won't fail. As brilliant as I am, if you follow my advice day after day, you will fall way short. You know, I was talking to somebody recently. I just read again. Somebody had the last word of Steve Jobs, Apple's founder, I believe, you know, a millionaire, more money than God. The last words, how fruitless his life was. And that's really what Ecclesiastes says, man, without God, life is worthless. You can have all the toys. You can have all the relationships you want. You can have everything. But if you don't got God, you don't have it. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. We live in a world today, even among Christians, that tells us the Bible is old school, that we live in a different society now, that, you know, you don't really have, no, you have to live according to every word of the Bible. Because God's word never changes. John 3 tells us as Christians, we're born from above. We need to look to God and learn how to live. I have it on good accord that Jesus Christ never put one political statement on Facebook. And I bet you he wouldn't either. We are to be pure and holy. If I took each one of you, let's start with me. If I took my life and I put it on the screen and you watched me for the last 24 hours, once you woke up, would you say, hey, wow, that was a pure and holy life? We can't give ourselves slack. If you sin, I'm not saying beat yourself up, but you need to repent and you need to move forward. You can't say, well, that's okay, I've done worse. God says, you know what? Beaumont, you're supposed to be holy. You're supposed to live that way. We are created to do good works. The work of my life, the fruit of my life is supposed to reflect God's love for other people, not building my own little world. We need to resist setting up roadblocks to the gospel. You know, don't you love it where Jesus says, hey, if somebody forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Jesus went after all of the relational baggage of that society. You know, Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 tells us we need to follow the authority of our government. So I know we can get frustrated, and I would ask you to go on a diet. We're doing a day of fasting tomorrow. Maybe you should fast from watching the news all the time. Maybe you should fast from going on your phone and looking at all the gibbly gosh that's on there. And maybe we should open up the Bible and say, Jesus, man, this country needs a revival. And that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for the doors to open and we see our country coming to Jesus Christ, just like we saw a wave of that, which I'm a part of, in the 1970s. We saw God do a great thing. But we're not called to add to the fray. We're called to be safe. I have said countless times, we are called to be a spiritual hospital. A spiritual hospital means people, excuse me, they're going to be needy. They're going to be dirty. They're going to be bloody. They're going to be smelly. My dad was an ambulance driver. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been told a lot of stories. That means, you know what? We got to be safe. We have to be non-judgmental, speaking the truth, of course, but not judgmental. We need to love people because God wants to use us to open up doors. I mean, look at it. I'm a Christian. If you saw the BC Beaumont, you never would have thought that was possible. And some of you guys, I remember coming to church 40-some years ago, there's a guy walking around with a t-shirt that said, I once was blind. Mr. Proetti. And then now he can see, man, because he came into relationship with Jesus Christ. How cool is that? And I just want to encourage you today. One of the things we're looking at, gifts of the Spirit, et cetera, God is saying, New Covenant, you guys are powerhouses in Christ. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to put skin in the game. Where are you serving the Lord? Where are you getting involved? I can't. Yes, you can. Well, maybe you can't, but Christ in you can. I said this a million times. I love the fact that God made me a pastor because I want people to look at me and say, if he can use him, he can use anybody, which is true. God says, Paul says he chose the foolish things of the world. Hello. I'd be a fool if it points people to Jesus Christ. In fact, don't play the fool. Sowing and reaping. Doesn't it amaze you how you can know people that like to be critical? They like to get in your face and speak truth to you. Yada, bum, 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 bum. But then when you do it back, they cower and weep and call you a meanie head. I am amazed by how many people are like that. Because I'm kind of like that too. But don't play the fool. Be careful when you talk to people. Boy, is God speaking to me right now. Jeff. Okay. Let every person be... Oh, it's not up there because I didn't do it. Sorry about that. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Do you have a friend that you knew, you wish they knew this verse? Be slow to speak. I had a friend of mine years ago. We went to breakfast and he talked for 2 hours straight. Then 2 weeks later, he goes, I got a cold. I'm feeling cruddy. Hey, let's go to breakfast again. He goes, I want to hear your story. I ain't no fool. I asked him one question. I got sat back and, you know, listened to them talk for another 2 hours. People have to learn how to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Don't be argumentative. Don't be antagonistic. Don't be a verbal jerk. Bite your tongue. Don't flame the fire. And please know, if you knew my personality, boy, am I talking to myself. Ephesians says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rules, the rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, over the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But Corinthians tells us, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Close your eyes. I got more, but that's it. Two things that I feel the Lord is speaking to us today. The one is, it's okay. You know, Randy did this last week to lead worship. Just, you know, you're all sitting down. Just sit down, take a deep breath, and let God instill in you, it's going to be okay. It does not mean it's going to be easy. The Christian walk is not an easy walk. We live in a broken world with sickness, death, financial situations, relational problems. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We can't get drawn in to all of the world's debates. We will stand up for righteousness. Please don't get me wrong. But we have to have a biblical world view. That comes to politics too. When I look at a candidate, I pray and look at which one most closely resembles what the Bible teaches. But God is saying to us today, it's okay. But he's also saying, don't get so wrapped up and involved in the world that you're closing the door. Because one of the things the Lord has been speaking to us as a church, and we have to just be praying, Lord, who's that one person? We need to be impacting lives for Jesus Christ. We need to be building relationships with people that don't know the Lord so that he will give us opportunity to share what he has done for us and to tell them the good news of Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord. As I close, let me finish. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Let us reflect your life, Lord. Let us not hold so tightly to our own personalities and who we are that we do not allow you to tweak us, to mold us, to transform us. You have called us to do good works that will point people to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would give us discernment on when to pull back, when to befriend those that are even outrageous, Lord, so that we would have opportunity to share faith with them, Lord God. Sometimes I find, Lord, those who are most boisterous are those who are most insecure and need a touch from the Savior. So I thank you for New Covenant Community Church, Lord. I've been thinking about it this past week. What a blessing it is to be a part of this amazing church. And Lord, you have instilled in each one of us your power, your gifts, your calling. Let us have the confidence of Christ as we move forward, Lord. Be glorified in your name. And they all said, amen. Blessings, have a good day, and stay warm.